At the music concourse in Golden Gate Park, which has been turned completely into a fenced-off construction project. And I'm here with two local activists, Steve Willis and Janice Rothstein, who are part of the organizations that are fighting a huge public-private partnership here, which is building an underground parking garage around these museums in the music concourse in Golden Gate Park. This is a result of a ballot proposition in the late 90s, which was supposed to be a compromise, which would allow more cars into the park to bring more revenues into the city-owned museums, and also create a pedestrian oasis that would make this nicer for park users. It's turned out to be simply a parking garage and nothing else. And there's a political fight going on. I'd like to focus on what it takes for a grassroots organization and grassroots organizations to fight these big privatization projects in a local community. So Steve Willis, talk about the profiteers here, including the private organization which is running this whole thing, so that our listeners know what's really at stake and who's going to profit. The city government itself likes these things because they have to pay for a large park like this, and the more revenues that come in, the better they balance their budget. But what else is behind this?
Well, behind the project is a private nonprofit public benefit corporation called the Music Concourse Community Partnership. And we don't really know a lot about these people, except that their executive director is a fellow named Richard Young, who actually helped sell Prop J 6 years ago. He oversaw the development of the graphics used to sell this auto-free, this wonderful, pristine, auto-free pedestrian oasis. And the graphics were mailed out to voters all over the city to get them to the polls to approve this project. Now, that auto-free pedestrian oasis was worked out as a matter of compromise so the environmental community would back off in their opposition to this garage. Dick Young, at this time, oversees the development of the garage. 6 years later, there's no plan to put in the auto-free element. In other words, when they finish with their garage, their plans are to put the roads back onto the surface area. There'll be no pedestrian oasis at all. There'll be parking for diesel buses, 7 in front of each institution, and it'll be a total mess out here. When you call Dick Young's office at the First Maritime Plaza, you will get an answering machine for the American Industrial Group, which refers to private investments in public equity. So this is an area that's completely new. It involves taking funding from the outside. Private corporations will invest in public capital improvements through bonds, and they're the ones who will profit from it. For example, one of the primary members of the MCCP is Mr. Warren Hellman. He owns an equity investment company here in San Francisco. He's on the board of Lehman Brothers. He was the youngest director of Lehman Brothers in the history of that investment firm. And he's also an heir to the Wells Fargo fortune. He helped broker the deal with the state for the $15 billion bond that was passed, which Governor Schwarzenegger is taking credit for, and he stands to make $75 million off of that $15 billion bond measure. And so he's one of the closest advisors to our Republican governor right now, and he's the guy, along with Dick Young, a former Bechtel project manager, who are over the destruction that we can see here in the park right now, and that is without a design approval, without project funding. They've gone forward in defiance of a court ruling last August 10th.
Okay, so that gives people an idea of what's at stake for how many people and why this is so important beyond what the city government wants to do. Well, let's look at the media. The corporate media has run interference for this project right from the beginning. At first, it tried this angle of just touching on it slightly, saying it was a win-win situation for everybody available, and they finally had found the perfect solution and hoped that that would be the end of it. Then they tried this angle of a few troublemakers, two of who are right next to me, ruining it for everyone else. Now, the media, the corporate media spin has always been, usually unmentioned, but a lot of times mentioned, that economic issues clearly come before ecological and recreational issues. This is what we're talking about in this park. A lot of people, local residents, use this park. It's a wonderful park, I think the second largest in the United States. And people want it for their own stuff. And the ecology of not only the park, but the local communities is also at stake, too, with the car traffic. So that economics over ecology and recreation is certainly not the consensus of all the people in San Francisco, but that's the media's spin on it. So that didn't really work either as the issue's gotten bigger and bigger, but the media has been generally stacked for this project and hostile. Some of the editorials have been, you know, actually childish, you know, with the stuff about troublemakers and this and that and narrow-minded people. Talk about what you've had to, the disinformation you've had to work against with the media and what you've had to do to try to get real information in the media, since you do need the media to get the public and public officials on your side.
Okay, well, with the San Francisco Chronicle, for example, you have articles which over the past year and a half have been written by Katya Hetter. There's been an emphasis on reporting only a couple of the causes of action in our lawsuit against the city, and those relate to the Prop J requirements for only entrances and exits to the garage from outside the park, where they have one planned right here for Academy Drive, not too far from where we're standing, and also funding from private sources. These are just two of the complaints in our lawsuit. Our lawsuit dealt with the lack of environmental planning and study of this entire project, including the DeYoung, the Academy, and the garage, which are about, when you take a look at the total value with interest after the bond measures are passed for these projects, this is a $1 billion makeover of the music concourse, and it hasn't been studied. It's getting a free ride because of the political power behind it, and meaning it's the most politically connected and powerful people in the city, from Bechtel to Wells Fargo to the Gap, you know, here in San Francisco. So these are folks who place a lot of advertising with the local media. When you place advertising with media, you have power over that media. And that may extend all the way to our friends at The Guardian, for all we know. You know, I would think that we'd get even more coverage in something, you know, in article, in papers like The Guardian. It's great to have indie media covering the issue, because the corporate media has no interest at all in portraying the truth of our lawsuit, which says this is bad planning. We have no idea what this garage is going to do other than bring more traffic into the park. We're certain of this. And to characterize our lawsuit as just a couple of the complaints that we have without looking at the overall project and the fact that the city attorneys told us 2 years ago that these projects move forward independently of one another in different locations, if you can believe that, and according to different timelines. And then here we fast forward to, say, last September, a year ago now, and you have Harry Parker, director of the DeYoung Museum, Carolyn McMillan, their director of marketing, and all the PR firms that they've hired over the years out there saying, we have to have this garage or you're going to cost us $3.5 million for every month that you delay us. And, of course, they've maligned our character and our motivations as activists as just a bunch of selfish, you know, miscreants who are trying to hurt the DeYoung. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is about good planning, complying with state and local planning laws, and has nothing to do with three or four people who are disgruntled or who hate cars. That's a mischaracterization of the folks who just want some answers and just want the city to comply with state law on this issue. Now, if that was being addressed in the corporate media, there'd be a lot more people wondering, what the hell is going on in the park right now? Do we even have control of it? And it looks like we don't. They're building in defiance of a court ruling demanding that they address the lack of dedicated access to the second entrance in the park, or else the project fails the EIR. And they don't have approved funding, as I stated a second ago.
That's good. I'll add what we're looking at is one of Gavin Newsom's early on campaign pledges to try to take away a lot of the barriers to getting development projects done in the city. And what we're actually seeing, I think we're going to see a lot more from, is trying to ram projects right down people's throats without due process. Janice, why don't you talk about what the organizations involved are doing. Touch on what you've done up to now, but really go into what you're doing from this point on to try to stop this project.
Yeah, well, up till now, we've had a good coalition with neighborhood groups around the park and throughout the city who see behind the public veneer that the Music Concourse Community Partnership and those folks have tried to put on this. And although it hasn't been covered in the local press much, there has been pretty broad community objection to this. There was a very contentious community meeting at which Michael Elsey of the Concourse Authority had to answer for the 80 trees being cut down ahead of their own schedule, and the first tunnel being destroyed. And the people from all around the Golden Gate Park neighborhoods were just screaming at this, you know, at this meeting. So at that meeting, Elsey made a verbal promise that there would be no more irrevocable destruction in the concourse before the judge's ruling. And then they went ahead and destroyed the other two tunnels before the judge's ruling. So, you know, by their own actions, the Concourse Authority and the Music Concourse Community Partnership have been helping to galvanize community support. Right now in San Francisco, of course, we have several supervisors up for re-election and about 22 or so candidates scattered around these districts. So we're in the process now of several districts, yeah, besides District 5, yeah. There's a couple of districts that touch on Golden Gate Park, District 5, District 1. I think those are the two main ones that abut the park directly. But, you know, since Golden Gate Park is the largest park in the city and is a sort of de facto backyard for all the folks in the city who don't have a backyard, who can't afford to drive or fly to Reno or wherever for the weekend, who bring their kids to the park to learn how to bike and roller skate. This is kind of the backyard for most people in the city. It concerns everybody around the city. So we're polling all the candidates to ask them to stand up and say whether they support or oppose privatization of our public parks and the misuse of the planning process and misuse of state funds. And with that polling, then we're going to be contacting the press and make this a campaign issue and put it on the map for these candidates and for people going to the candidates' forums. So that's our current organizing efforts.
Okay, great. Before we leave, just touch for a minute or so on the legal actions that have served to slow down this project.
Well, we originally filed our CEQA suit, which means we filed a lawsuit in Superior Court last December 18th of 2003 to enforce the California Environmental Quality Act. And since that time, the city has responded with their own suit, which is one that mirrored ours. It's called a notice for validation, which is required in order to approve everything they've done, get a stamp of approval so they can go and ostensibly get revenue bond funding. So everything is danced around these lawsuits, and then we there's another cross complainant who filed a response to the city's notice of validation as well. So in the courts, we won a preliminary injunction against construction on March 12th. That injunction was lifted by, so that set the stage for the destruction here in the concourse. The Court of Appeals was an unfavorable court for us that seemed to side more with the DeYoung's pleas for relief than for our concern for the commons to protect the park. The judge issued a ruling on August 10th, as I stated, requiring them to study dedicated access to this second entrance and exit on Academy Drive, and yet construction has continued on the north pod. They started pouring concrete last week. That's why, as Janice said, we're calling for public hearings. We're asking the supervisors and the candidates if they'll support hearings immediately to take a look at the financial dealings of the Music Concourse Community Partnership. They have no approved funding. They don't have an approved plan. And if you want to get in touch with the Alliance for Golden Gate Park, you can reach us at 621-3090. That's here in San Francisco. That's area 415-621-3090. If you'd like to learn more about these hearings, or if you'd like to volunteer to help us bring this message to the city voters over these next few weeks.
Okay, thank you, Steve and Janice. This is DJ Q-Mark looking out for a giant construction project and reporting on a David and Goliath fight that hopefully David will win and Goliath will lose.